The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Everyone will remember the scenes of Gerard the Monk Hutch walking out a free man from the Special Criminal Court after being acquitted of the murder of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel. Paul Williams, the crime journalist with the Irish Independent, is with me now. Paul, with the benefit of time, looking back, how big a deal was that?
That was, like, I'm the same age as Hutch now, and I've been covering his activities for nearly 40 years, and I can say it was the biggest event I've ever seen in my career, because there was so much intense interest in the whole case. And what a difference a year makes. He just touched 61 there a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and he, I think, if the moment in his life, if he ever reflects on it publicly, that was the luckiest and most important event in his life. It was this day last year. Like, he was expecting to get off, and he was confident he was going to get off.
Yeah.
But he was never sure he was going to get off. And of course, that was because he was charged with murder as a result of one of the most spectacular criminal and audacious criminal acts that we'd ever seen in this country, apart from the murder of Veronica Guerin. It was the state put all its effort and its resources into that case. And the state came out of that case this time last year looking like an absolute ass.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you can say as a result, that one thing that Jerry can be absolutely happy about today, the one thing he can say to you without fear of being wrong, and that is that the Irish legal system is never, ever going to touch him again. He is, in the eyes of the law, completely untouchable.
How so?
Because what can they do to him?
Yeah.
He got away, he beat the rap in an extraordinary situation. Now, we've talked about this before, Kieran. Now, to remind your listeners, Jerry was charged originally with involvement in the Regency Hotel attack, and that was based mostly on the 15, 20 hours of secretly recorded conversation between him and the former Sinn Féin councillor, Jonathan Dowdle,
yeah,
went to meet the IRA to get the IRA to somehow stop the Kinahans from launching this bloodbath that they were involved in. On that trip, you can clearly hear Gerry Hutch saying, I'm going to throw them up the yokes. The yokes turned out to be three AK-47s that were used by his associates when they went into the Regency Hotel and killed David Byrne and tried to wipe out the Kinahan gang. So this was very, very compelling evidence. Very, very compelling evidence that, one, he was involved, which there is a charge for, that he was involved in orchestrating and organising crime. He was an organised crime boss. The other very clear evidence from that tape was that he had possession of deadly firearms, which were used in a murder. So you had possession of firearms with intent to endanger life, and you had been the leader of a criminal gang. What did they do? They put all their eggs from that basket and transferred them over into this basket called Jonathan Dowdall, and everybody remembers where that went.
Oh, God. It was an absolute mess. And people do remember it. We don't need to go over in great detail. I mean, what a farce that turned out to be.
He was. He embarrassed a lot of people, including Sinn Féin and all of that. But, you know, you start wondering, why did the DPP accept that?
He was so obviously unreliable, like utterly unreliable to anybody who was paying any attention to this case. I think the question, maybe not exactly this day a year ago, but, you know, go back another few weeks while the case is ongoing, the question I would have had, the question lots of people would have had was, how did the state sit down and have conversations with this guy and think that this is the guy we're going to kind of put the whole house of cards on?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't trust him to go to the shop and buy me a pint of milk.
That is so well put. And it was very obvious when you looked at it from the beginning. And remember as well, Kieran, this was one of the biggest cases since the murder of Veronica Guerin for many, many reasons. Because organised crime and the Hutch gang, which is a clear and present entity, had challenged and undermined the rule of law and the state. That's how serious it was. But for them, where they had two very, very clear criminal charges against Gerard Hutch, to take the foundation of their case and move it. By the way, they only did it. They changed their tack on this case about a month before the case started. And that's why Hutch, I think, pushed forward for an early... He could have had the case put out for at least a year. Mm. He decided to go straight for it. He knew and he seemed to be confident that he would get off. So he left the state with a bloody nose. And that for him is a massive victory. Now, any pictures we've seen of him, he looks very, very happy these days.
Yeah, what kind of life is he living these days?
He's living the dream. Gerry Hutch is the man who fought the law and the law lost.
Yeah.
He's featured in Mick O'Donnell. The court artist who was in there through the trial, he actually contacted him.
Yeah.
You know, and said, look, would you come up to the house and do a portrait for me? And then he did a portrait, did a number of portraits. And then Hutch turned up at his exhibition.
Yeah.
And Mick O'Donnell is a really nice guy, and fair play to Hutch for doing that. And Hutch is actually enjoying his jaunt in the sunshine.
Yeah.
The chances of him being whacked or shot have receded very dramatically. I would say maybe 2-3% now. His chances of ever being touched by the law again, 100%.
And that's because he's just not involved in anything directly anymore. He has the money made, effectively.
Once a villain, always a villain. You have to remember as well.
Okay.
You know, Gerry Hutch settled with Cab in 2000 for 1.25 or £1.3 million at the time, right?
Yeah.
The big flaw in the Cab way it operated or methodology at the time, which I think they've changed since, is that once they went to you and shook the tree and drew from the well, you became legitimate in the eyes of the revenue.
Yeah.
Now, you have to remember, Gerry is an exceptionally wealthy guy. He's got property all over Europe, but he's got a lot of property in the UK, a lot of property in Spain. Like, he's over there, he's got a place in Puerto del Carmen. He's got a nice house here. He's got loads of property interests and he's worth a lot of money. But all of that money, Kieran, you know, that came from the point of a gun at some stage.
Yeah.
Somebody was terrorised. Somebody was hurt. Somebody was traumatised to get that initial cash. And there was this great sense at the time, like I remember a cop saying to me in cab, he said, you know, we're after getting this money out of Hutch now and it sounds great, but you know what? It's going to give him a free ride in the years ahead, because you can hide everything then. He can say, well, I'm tax compliant. So anything after that was legit. And he started investing his money back. And you got to hand it to him. And this is one of the reasons I admire him to a degree. I'm maybe ambivalent about him the same as everybody else. But when he was 18 years of age and he was robbing from, he was about 14, 15 armed robberies, big robberies now, with the big boys and the older guys using grenades and machine guns. When his then girlfriend got pregnant with their first child, Gerry Hutch, unlike any other criminal I've ever come across, had the money saved up in the bank from all the other robberies and bought his wife-to-be and his child, his baby, a new home in Buckingham Street. And then he started building a property from that. He started building or buying into property back in 1987 after the famous Marino Mart robbery where him and his gang pulled off the biggest cash heist in history. And they were shocked. They famously sat around a room, these guys counting the money.
Couldn't,
so he was going to get
200,000.
It was 1.25 or 1.3 million. He nearly got caught that time moving money into a bank account in Newry, one in his wife's name, Patricia, and the other in his name. And how he got away with it, I never know. So that was the basis on which they went after him, for the cab went after him subsequently. And then he pulled off the other huge robbery in 1995, another cash holding centre that they robbed. But so going back to the central point, that Hutch did very, very well. He was very sensible.
Yeah.
He also, by the way, as well, we're talking about him now. I hope he doesn't mind us talking about him behind his back. But, you know, he was the only criminal that I ever came across who didn't actually go around looking for trouble. Now, in fairness, he was philosophical enough that trouble will always come to you all by itself.
But is that why, and you know, that he's less hated maybe than people, is that the right way to describe it? Maybe people are more agnostic about him. They don't have the same strong feelings that they might have about, some of the Kinahans. Even despite what you, and it's worth reiterating, you know, for the sake of this question, like all that money came at the point of a gun, and there's people still traumatised by the experience of being at the end of a Hutch gun, and he is living the life because of it. At the same time, it's a bit like kind of the reputation Martin Kahl had for a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bit of the kind of,
The lovable rogue.
The lovable rogue. Maybe that's it. He's not a lovable rogue, but there's a bit of that about him in terms of the public attitude.
I blame for that because I wrote books about both of them. You make a very good point there, Kieran, and that is that, Gerard Hutch, from a criminological and psychological point of view, Gerry Hutch, for the average Irish punter, for the person listening to your show this evening, he personifies and embodies our ambivalent relationship with criminals. As in, how many times have you watched a movie where it's a robbery caper, and you're always rooting automatically for the bad boys, as long as they don't go do anything nasty to anybody, but you want them to get away with it. There was always that sense around Gerry Hutch for many, many years and decades. And I don't know if he never hired a PR company to do it, but I'm sure he would have had to pay a lot of money to a PR company to achieve that, because he certainly has achieved that. And there is that grudging admiration for him amongst people. But you have to remember, there's another side to him as well. By the way, just talking about what's happened in the past year, Gerry Hutch left a huge mess behind him that the guards are still trying to clear up. And that is, like, for example, remember just after he came out, we had this extraordinary story about a senior investigator from GSOC.
Yes.
The Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission is actually at Gerry's homecoming party. And not only that, but this GSOC official was the guy who was the senior investigating officer who probed the case of a Garda who had shot himself in Ballymun and who was in charge of investigating the whole Regency case. You couldn't really make it up. There is also another case, and that is a former retired ex-cop who's now in prison, and he and a number of serving Gardaí who have been suspended are all subject to a major criminal investigation on suspicion that they had an improper relationship with Gerard Hutch. No matter what happens, in the end of the day, he's still a criminal.
Yeah.
And criminals, by their nature, corrode and poison anything that comes in touch with them.
Mm.
Because that's the kind of people they are. They will use and abuse people for their own ends. Like, I do know that a very close associate of Gerry Hutch was passing on very, very high quality and high grade intelligence to An Garda Síochána, to certain individual members of An Garda Síochána, right? And that information did result in some very big seizures and big arrests. However, that relationship allowed Hutch and his other associates to corrode the protective coating around the police they were dealing with, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That the professionalism broke down, and then we were down a road where it was like down a rabbit hole. The people who ended up down that rabbit hole, some of them are in prison and some of them are suspended.
Meanwhile, Gerry Hutch is in the sunshine somewhere.
Listening to News Talk.
I'm sure he's listening to us now.
Tequila beside the pool.
Yeah, strawberry daiquiri maybe. Paul Williams, crime journalist with the Irish Independent. Paul, thanks a million.
Good talking to you, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.